Test 1, 2, 3. Is it coming through now? Okay, very good. Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about confident living in troubled times. We do live in troubled times, don't we? By the way, if you haven't been here before when I preached, I sit down for two reasons. My back feels better. And when Jesus taught, normally he sat down. Even when he gave his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, read it in Matthew chapter 5, he sat down. So, it's biblical. All right? I'm not going to say all the people who stand up to preach are not biblical, but some of you aren't awake. All right. We're going to look at the life of Daniel very briefly tonight. Think about the times of Daniel's life. Foreign rulers had invaded his homeland. He was forced, as a young teenager, to leave his homeland and go to a foreign country to live. In all of this, Daniel saw God's hand on his life. He was living in a chaotic world. So much so that, if you remember the story of Daniel, at one point he spent the night in the company of lions. That wouldn't be too comfortable, would it? So let's take a look at the life of Daniel. If you want to find it in your Bible, it's a little more than halfway from the middle to the back. If you find Matthew or Mark or John, you've gone too far. You need to go back. Or if you have a cell phone, just plug in Daniel, all right? Fast forward from Daniel a few thousand years. Now, you and I probably will never have to spend the night in a den of lions. Hopefully, we will not have to live through the invasion of our country by a foreign government. But we do struggle with life, don't we? Life can get pretty chaotic. Even in our modern age. So what can we learn from Daniel about living confidently in troubled times? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us the story of Daniel in the Bible to not only give us some great prophecy about the future, but just to help us understand how we can live confidently in troubled times. And help us, Lord, to learn these lessons tonight and then be able to apply them in our lives in the days and weeks and months to come. Thank you for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, Daniel didn't hide his faith, but he stood by his convictions. He didn't hide his faith. We tend to do that, don't we? Especially if we're in a situation where we're with people who don't know the Lord, and you know how it goes. Been there, done that. But Daniel didn't hide his faith. He stood by his convictions. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel lived a life characterized by devotion to God. No matter what the risks were of doing so. As I said earlier, he was forced to go live in a foreign country by the ruler of that country as a young teenager, maybe 13, 14. In fact, this king, Nebuchadnezzar, took hundreds of these young teenage boys who were part of families that were very prominent in the nation of Israel because he wanted to re-educate them, to make them into his image so that they would live like Babylonians. When these teenage captives arrived in Babylon, most of them went along with the program that the king had set up for them. Verse 5. The king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and three years of training for them. Translation, indoctrination. He was going to make Babylonians out of these young Jewish boys, so that at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. Now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, to Azariah, Abednego. But did you realize that some of the most important words in the Bible are the smallest? How about this word, all? That's really important, isn't it? Here is another one of those really important little words. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Is that something a young teenage boy is supposed to do when a foreign king says, this is what you're going to eat, and this is what you're going to drink, and this is what you're going to learn? No, it's not. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. You want me to put my own neck out there for you, kid? But remember, it says Daniel had won favor with the chief of the eunuchs. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies as you see fit to deal with your servants. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? 10-day trial. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Daniel didn't hide his faith. He stood by his convictions. Verse 8 is really key. Daniel purposed in his heart. He made a agreement with God. To stand up for what he believed was right. And God honored that. He proved his point without becoming nasty or confrontational. He just said, hey, let us do a trial period and see who looks better at the end of the 10 days. But he stood by his convictions. Wouldn't hide his faith. He did this because of his covenant commitment to God. Regardless of the circumstances. Just by refusing to eat the king's food, he could literally have lost his head. But God honored his commitment. So that's Daniel at probably 13, 14 years of age. Now later in his life, a bunch of people who worked in the government convinced King Darius to command everyone in the kingdom to offer prayers to the king. Turn to Daniel chapter 6, just a few pages toward the back. Daniel chapter 6. Pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, like governors, to be over the whole kingdom. Over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one. So there were 20 guys that were appointed to be like governors over certain areas of the kingdom. Daniel was one of three that were put in charge of them, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought of setting him over the whole kingdom. The rest of them got real jealous. They sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute. A law, and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. He thought it was a great idea. Man, everybody's going to worship me. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, notice what he did. He went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. He was praying to his God when he got there. Now he's an old man, and he's still praying to God. Now, did he have to open his windows? Couldn't he have just stayed inside and prayed? Huh? Who would have known the difference? Right? No, no. Not Daniel. Open the windows wide, facing Jerusalem, his home, and prayed. Did he pray a real quick little prayer and then close the windows? No, it says he prayed three times that day. And the guys were waiting. Any violation of the king's order that everyone worship him and pray to him, what was the penalty? Thrown into a den of lions. So they knew that their only hope of pinning anything on Daniel was to do it with regard to his faith, right? His faith in God. And he did it. Like they knew he would. Daniel once again stood by his conviction and prayed openly. Openly. Without reservation. Without fear of the consequences that he knew was coming. Right? His jealous rivals watching him violate the king's order, verse 11. These men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Hey, kingy, remember what you just signed? Guess who we found praying to someone other than you? That guy Daniel. If you know the rest of the story, you know the king went, oh, what have I done? But did you notice earlier it says the decree of the king could not be changed? Well, the king's not going to make himself look bad in front of all these guys, is he? So, grab Daniel, open the cover of the lion's den, and in he went. Why? Because he stood by his convictions. He was trusting God far more than the king, wasn't he? Thrown into a den full of hungry lions, and his rivals stood back and went, that's the end of him. Right? So they thought. Well, God shut the lions' mouths all night. You know what my personal feeling is? Daniel used one of those lions for a pillow. I mean, I can't point you to a verse, but that's what I think happened. And the next morning, the king came down to the den of lions, hoping against hope that Daniel was a survivor. And he was. And the king took Daniel out of the den of lions, and who did he throw in? All the other guys. Because the king knew he had been tricked. Daniel didn't hide his faith. He stood by his convictions. As believers, you and I need to have that same kind of faith and convictions, because they really do matter. They do. And those convictions, if you will hold to them and stand by them firmly, those convictions will leave a legacy long after you're gone for the next generation to see and follow. Just as Daniel's story has inspired generations of Christians to be faithful to God, our example of faithfulness to God can inspire upcoming generations to proclaim God's truth and live out God's truth just like Daniel did. So the first thing we learn from Daniel about living confidently in troubled times is we need to not hide our faith, but stand by our convictions. Number two, Daniel interacted with the culture in a wise manner. Now, you and I have all known Christians who were well-meaning, who went into the culture and acted like a bull in a china shop. That's not how you win people to faith. Daniel interacted with the culture around him in a wise manner. When he was called upon to recall and interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream concerning a statue, Daniel used the opportunity to point the king to God. Turn back to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these." And Daniel goes ahead and tells him what his dream was and then what it meant. But Daniel didn't take the credit, right? Daniel said, "There's a God in heaven who can tell the king what his dream was and the meaning of the dream." Daniel interacted with the culture in a wise way. He made sure the king recognized that it was God, not Daniel, who was interpreting the dream. Then there's another incidents in the book of Daniel that's probably familiar to most, if not all of you. And that's the story in chapter 5 of the handwriting on the wall. Remember, the king had thrown this big party. Everybody was drinking way too much. And they were using the utensils that had been taken from the temple in Jerusalem to do their drinking with. I mean, that's a direct slap in the face of God. Look at chapter 5, verse 14. I have heard of you, the king says to Daniel, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Down to verse 18. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor, and because of the majesty that God gave him, all peoples, nations, languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Down to verse 22. But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this about your father. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. You have insulted God, basically. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and knows all your ways you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and his writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You're done. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Verse 30, that very night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Daniel interacted with the culture in a wise way. He gave God glory. He gave God credit, not himself. How does that relate to you and me? We need to, as Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. That's a term for people who do not know God. Walk in wisdom. Use God's way of dealing with people. That's what Daniel did. Don't just... Now, this is the Bible I've been using for a long time. It's not very big. Some of you have a lot bigger Bibles. You know, don't go walking around looking for lost people and smack them upside the head with the biggest Bible you can find. That won't work. You need to be wise. You need to use wisdom in dealing with the world. And that's what Daniel did. We need to make the most of the opportunities God gives us to point others to Him through His message. Now, you have to give God's truth plainly and without apology, but don't be nasty about it. Just be plain with what God has to say about the culture around us. Number three, Daniel acknowledged God's sovereignty and control. There's some big words in the Bible. And the word sovereign or sovereignty is one of them. Here's what it simply means. God's in charge. God's in charge. God's in control. And the whole book of Daniel shows how God orchestrates every circumstance in your life and my life, just like He did Daniel's. Daniel, later in the book, gives some incredible prophecies about the future. We don't have time to look at those tonight. But we, as believers, can put our confidence in a sovereign God, just like Daniel did. That God will work in and through us, just like He did Daniel. And we can proclaim our confidence in Jesus as well as His desire for other people to come and put their faith and trust in Him. So three simple points of how Daniel lived confidently in troubled times. We live in troubled times. And we, as Daniel did, can live confident lives of faith if we will follow his example. So, let me ask you some questions. How have you interacted with the culture? You shut your mouth and not say a word for God? That's pretty tempting, isn't it? Maybe some of us have done that. Maybe we've learned something from Daniel's example tonight of how to live in a troubled time and live confidently for God. Daniel was a man of faith. He was forced to go to Babylon as an impressionable teenager, but he stood firm. Why? I believe he had come to faith in God as a child. And that is what stood him well as he lived in a foreign culture. And he lived for God and stood for God. I remember as a kid, some of you probably will too, learning a little song about Daniel. Here's how it went. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Be a Daniel. Stand up for God. And do it wisely for His honor and glory. Let's stand.